Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
We are so very thankful that you have tuned in for another edition of Abounding Grace. And this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of John. I am currently preaching through John in the Linden United Reformed Church, and what a wonderful book to open up and look so carefully at the person and the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today we're continuing to study that witness as it was given through John the Baptist, this fascinating character who was the voice to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. So we're looking at that today, and let me begin, as we study the character of John the Baptist, and we open up, we begin by looking at what a true pastor, a true prophet, a revealer of God's will, his character, what it's supposed to be. And we really have some things exposed today, especially when we look at the perilous times when it comes today to the ministry of the gospel. I was shocked by reading an article that was in, of all places, the Wall Street Journal a few weeks back, that was called The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. It was a fascinating article because this young, I'm guessing around 25-year-old guy, was crying out because of the state of Christianity in our country. It's interesting what he observed. The author here reflects on the current dilemma of the baby boomers who have witnessed the increasing exodus of young people from their churches. And he describes what has resulted from this. For the past two decades, boomers have been scrambling to overhaul their churches to keep young members engaged in the life of the church. How has that been done? He labeled it hipster Christianity and the shock tactic. This new wannabe cool Christianity offers you cutting-edge technology, hip pastors, he says a metrosexual makeover with the coolest of relevant messages. What a better way to appeal to younger generations than to push the envelope and go where no fundamentalist has gone before. And so again, I want to emphasize, this in the Wall Street Journal. He lists these well-known pastors in America who keep pushing the envelope, one in Seattle, one in Grand Rapids, who keep pushing the envelope so far that they talk in graphic terms about things like sex in the pulpit. All of this is birthed out of fear that if we remain stagnant, the young people will leave. This author goes on to say, "We're tired of this. We don't want any more of this grungy stuff we're drenched with every day in our culture. We want something real. We want Jesus." The consequences of what is happening today before us are simply devastating. What all this has facilitated is an obsession and the following of men to the decreasing of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is a huge tragedy in the church today. And I don't think we've begun to think of the effects of what this is doing to the ministry of the gospel. We have youth ministries and youth pastors, and the things they're doing are so far out of control, they attack the fundamental message of Jesus Christ that is foolishness to this world. You see, today we are shown something about the one whom Jesus said was the greatest of all born among women, the greatest of preachers, John the Baptist. There was no preacher like John, and yet in him, we see exactly what the testimony of a faithful preacher is to be. We see one holy passion in him, one holy desire, and that is to exalt Jesus Christ. To have him increase, even if it means that he would decrease all the way to death. That Jesus Christ would have the supremacy, the preeminence, the glory, that all things would be of him and to him and for him. This was John the Baptist. Meet John the Baptist. He gave this glorious testimony concerning Jesus Christ all the way to his death death of that of a beheading, so that all would become followers of him, would come to faith in him. So that's the question today on Abounding Grace. And this week, who do we follow? Why do you go to church? What is your motivation? Whom are you seeking? Is it to come and see a man who dazzles you? I pray that John the Baptist's testimony would still speak to you. In the age of the cult of personality, entertainment-driven churches, and shallow, empty spirituality of people starving for life, that we would see in the witness of John the Baptist how his whole life was given to make known the one in whom we must believe in to have eternal life. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his glory. It's about the revelation of that glory in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of John the Baptist. Well, what we have before us this week on Abounding Grace in this opening section is really, we're looking here in John 3. Remember, we've been studying Nicodemus, John 3 now. We transition to the end of John chapter 3, this very powerful, beautiful section of Scripture. And what we have here is the decreasing of John as we come to the close of John the Baptist's ministry. And essentially, I've titled here, The Decreasing of John. That's the main point I want to focus on today and tomorrow with you, because there's a summary statement given to this whole section in John 3, verse 30. He, Jesus Christ, must increase, and I must decrease. That's it. That's his ministry, to increase Christ and to decrease himself. Hard thing to do. Let's see that unfold here in John chapter 3. Well, in verse 22, we read that after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. And in the very next breath, we read, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Now, essentially, what you have presented here at the end of John 3 are two contrasted baptisms. Jesus has begun his earthly ministry, and he's baptizing. Although chapter 4 tells us that he himself did not baptize, but his disciples were doing it. But we have overlap here. And this overlap of John the Baptist's ministry and Jesus Christ's ministry has caused conflict. This is verse 25. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Now, did you hear what's going on there? Really need to put all of this in perspective. Many of John's own disciples had left John and now were following this Jesus. John the Baptist, keep in mind, was the most powerful preacher of the day. In fact, Mark tells us, in all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem, they went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John's preaching announced the righteous judgment of God, and oh, was he a preacher. Well, his preaching caused quite a stir. Everyone had been leaving Jerusalem. Multitudes are repenting, and they're going where? They're going out into the wilderness. They're going to hear a man clothed in camel's hair and with a belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey, whose message is that even the children of Abraham had better repent and flee the wrath to come. It's a prophet like no other, isn't it? John was so famous that he was known as the reincarnation of Elijah, or one of the mighty prophets. His preaching was so popular that worldly rulers feared him. Even Herod, for a long time, listened to John. This is Mark 6. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. So for a long time, a long period, John enjoyed huge success in his ministry. Even Herod, the king, heard him. But now, what's happened? Notice what the text says. He is baptizing out in Aenon near Salim. This is way out in the Arabian desert. Verse 24 tells us that he had not yet been put in prison. What we have before us, my friends, is the eve of the terrible catastrophe when John the Baptist is going to be beheaded. And he's out in the desert at this place where there are seven springs of water baptizing because most likely he's in flight from Herod. This is the very place Elijah had fled. John has come in the spirit of Elijah. His path is the same. And remember, Ahab and Jezebel wanted Elijah dead. So here, what has happened? John has confronted Herod and Herodias about Herod taking her since she was his brother's wife. It was wrong. John confronted him. It's not lawful. And here's the circumstance. There's a manhunt for him. Crowds are leaving John, and now they're flocking to Jesus. John's disciples didn't like it. In fact, a dispute breaks out with one of the Jews over these two baptisms. Why are they going away to this Jesus whom you testify about, and our following is shrinking? And then they come to John in verse 26, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. You see what's happened? Jealousy. They're stirring John up. Your ship is sinking. People aren't coming to you anymore. They're leaving to Jesus. Put a stop to this, John. Rebuke him. Everything has come crashing down on John. Now look, this is an important point today. This mighty, famous preacher is going to end his life forgotten. A nobody. Murdered with a little following. Do you know the blow that is to a preacher's pride? What do we do when someone wants to leave? I'm talking about to a faithful church. What do we say? You can't do that. We're the only true church, you know. Deep down, it's a blow to that church's pride and that pastor's pride. You see, we've always said that if someone really can't stand being in a particular place, no one's hand should be forced. You want willing servants in the day of Christ's power. So what does John do? Does John get discouraged? Does he quit and go out and take a vacation? Does he say, well, God must not need me anymore? This is John's life. John responds by saying, a man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. We're going to unpack that tomorrow. John's point is that any fruits we've had in the ministry have been given by God. They never came because of me, says John. It was never my mighty ministry or my mighty words or my mighty gimmicks or my mighty power that won people. God bless that. But why do you think I'm doing this? My whole purpose is to have sinners follow not me, but Jesus Christ. My whole purpose is that I would decrease and that Christ would increase. My whole purpose is just to be the voice of Him so that people would go to Him and believe in Him. My friends, I believe we can learn a lot from the ministry of John. Too much today is put on a particular church and particular pastors. It's time again we remember what this is about and who this is about. It's about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about His ministry. It's about seeing His glory so that sinners would turn to Him and that they would find life. The one that was given, that anyone who believes shall have everlasting life. May we show sinners this Jesus. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you, a blog to interact with and articles to read. Also give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.